Thank you for tuning in to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible on KEQX 89.7. The views, opinions, beliefs, and content expressed on the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible are the sole production of the Harrison Moore Expedition and its agents. The views, opinions, and beliefs expressed on this show may not be the same as those of KEQX or any of its agents. This show is brought to you by the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas, the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Texas, and the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas.
Good morning, or good evening, and welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition Bible. My name is Tom Moore, the gospel preacher for the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, here with my good friend and comrade David Harris, the gospel preacher for the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville. And we are delighted to have you in our listening audience this evening. We'd like to remind you that this is a live call-in talk show. And so if you have any questions or comments about our topic or any other topic for that matter, feel free to call us at 254-445-2473. Now, as always is our motto on this program, we have heard what men have said. Now let's hear what the Bible has to say. And remember, this is a live call-in talk show. And if you'd like to email us, you may also do that at keqx at rocketmail.com. We have, over the last several Mondays, been talking about Bible authority. And we realize that a study of authority is essential because without authority, well, within religion, within our world, there would be total chaos. Youth, they have to learn to respect authority from their young days, because if they don't, they're going to end up in a penitentiary. Without authority, man is free to do pretty much as he pleases. There is a standard of authority for, I guess, everything in the world. Even our traffic laws, that's a standard of authority. In sporting events, there is a standard of authority. And the authority, well, it is the right to give commands and enforce obedience. And we need to realize also that as is authority in all aspects of life, there is also authority to be found in religion. We've talked in times past about some false standards of authority. There are some people out there in the religious world today who are claiming that their feelings is their authority in religion. But David, when we have feelings as our authority of religion, really there is no real wrong or right, because it's just simply how you feel or how I feel.
Well, there's no central standard here. I mean, if you and I feel differently about several different things, we can agree to disagree on a lot of things. But if we have the standard, like God's word that we've been talking about here, we have no problem with our agreement. It can two walk together except they be agreed, according to Amos chapter 3? And the answer to that is no. They cannot walk together except they be agreed. And here's the plan. God makes it, and we agree to it.
That's right. And so if we don't have that standard, there is really no basis for us to truly come to an agreement, because your feelings are just as important to you as they are to me. And when we think about feelings, well, I always think my feelings are right. And so we need to realize that feelings cannot be our authority in religion. Neither are dreams and visions. We've talked the last couple of Mondays about miracles and dreams and those things, and shown that those cannot be our authority in religion, because they are no longer prevalent in our world today. They've been done away with. We've also noted how that parents sometimes are used as their authority in religion, like the religion of your parents. Well, it doesn't matter what your parents did. What matters is what the Bible says. Our parents could be wrong because they're human beings. So if we're going to our parents for Bible authority, for religious authority, then we're wrong. We have to go to the Bible. 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 And neither can we allow the majority in religion, the majority to be our rule, because well, the Bible says in Exodus 23, verse 3, thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. Evil, evil, evil. And we have in time past also noted that human creeds, are not our authority in religion. Human creeds are simply man-made documents. And so that is not our authority in religion. And we've also noted that a preacher is not our authority in religion. Just because your preacher says it, preacher says it, don't make it so. David, don't we need to be like those Bereans in Acts 17, verse 11, where they searched the Scriptures daily to make sure what they were taught was really so,
Absolutely. And what they're being taught was provable by what they could show in God's writings and God's word. And so they had the Scriptures. They were capable and certainly willing to go to those Scriptures to get their authority for whatsoever it was that they were doing.
That's right. And I forgot to do something, and I'm going to do it right now while I'm thinking about it.
Yes.
They're going to have a gospel meeting at the Hillcrest Church of Christ on March 6th through 9th. Brother H.D. Simmons is going to be doing the preaching. He's an outstanding gospel preacher. You will enjoy his presentation of God's Word. And the theme for that gospel meeting is the Bible and changing times. And that really goes a lot along with what we've been talking about with regard to authority. People are wanting to change everything in the world. And they're even wanting to change God's Word.
Yes.
And so we need to be careful that we don't do that thing, because you cannot change God. You cannot change God's Word and be pleasing in His sight. Well, we've been talking about authority. We've just mentioned some of the false standards of authority, but we realize that our true standard today in religion is the Bible. The Bible. In Proverbs 14, verse 12, the Bible says, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." And so we need to realize that we have to go to the Bible. That is our ultimate authority. It resides in God. God delegated this authority to Christ. Christ then, through the Holy Spirit, inspired Bible writers through inspiration to write down these very words that we have today. And we know that the Word of God is our authority. But you know, David, there are a lot of people today who are really trying to change God's Word and change God's Word. And we see people today with regard to authority in our government are also trying to change things, aren't they?
No doubt. One of the things that you hear today is the Constitution is a living document. You hear this said by a lot of progressive, if you will. I think I can use that term. Progressive lawmakers, and they want to look at this Constitution as a living document and say that because we have progressed from 1776 up till 2011 now, that this Constitution, this supreme law of our land, should also progress right along with the people, that it should not, we should not be bound by what they construe that to when our supreme, or when our military men and women, when they go through their boot camp and when they graduate from that boot camp, they must take a vow to uphold the Constitution of the United States of America. Not the Supreme Court, not the Senate or the House of Representatives, but they must pledge their loyalty to the Constitution of the United States of America. That's what they pledged to. Why? Because that is the only standard that is immovable and steadfast. And so we have people today trying to change the laws of our land by the laws of our foundation,
who are trying to give people copies of the
Constitution. And the Bill of Rights.
And so that they can under...
And the Bill of Rights.
And so that they can... Constitution.
And the Bill of Rights. And the Constitution.
Of the... Constitution.
And the Bill of Rights. And the Bill of Rights.
And so that they can understand, well, that they can understand what they're thinking. Because people are saying that the Constitution says this and says and says this and says, the Constitution says this, the thing that the Constitution says. What are they trying to progress from? They're trying to progress to, they're trying to progress to liberalism, to progress away from the Constitution. We need to be people who are going to stick truly to the word. We need to be people who are going to stick truly to the word of God.
Last chapter, I just got my numbers wrong. I apologize for that. But we need. You mentioned just a moment ago that people don't know the Constitution of the United States. Very few people have ever read the Constitution of the United States of America. What we are authorized to do and what we are not authorized to do, because we have a lot of people out there claiming to say, well, it is my right and I can do this if I want to.
That's right.
Not if God says you can't.
You know, I listen to a lot of radio talk shows on the radio, and I hear these people talking about the Constitution and what it allows them to do, and yet, as you mentioned, they have never read the Constitution of the United States, and so they don't even have the foggiest idea, but they think that it allows them to do certain things. And in like manner, as you've mentioned, people, I think the Bible is allowing them to do certain things, but they've not even read the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
They don't even have enough knowledge to fill a thimble of God's Word, and yet they're thinking that God's Word allows them certain things. Well, we need to get back to the Bible because it is our authority. And as a matter of fact, David, we are told that we are going to be judged by this book. Now, if I want to be judged by something, I think I want to know what's in there, don't you?
Surely. Surely we do. This goes back to something that we really need to hone in on, and you mentioned it at the beginning of this lesson. People depend on their preachers to tell them what is right mm-hmm. and what is wrong, and that in itself is wrong.
That's right.
We need to know beyond the shadow of a doubt ourselves, because as you just mentioned, we're going to be judged by the Word, and this is the beautiful part of the Word. This is the standard, the unchanging standard. It's going to judge us according to the book. And when we understand what the book has to say and understand what we're going to be up against, it's very understandable how we could take this word, mold our lives around it, and come out on the winning end of this, if you will, because we will know just exactly what to do. It's kind of like being given the answers to a final exam. We know the answers. All we've got to do is copy the book.
That's right. You know, when you think about preachers are human beings.
Mm-hmm.
And there are going to be some preachers out there, sadly, who are just flatly going to try to deceive you into thinking something is what the Bible says, when in reality it is not. There are going to be other preachers who aren't doing their homework, who aren't studying the Word of God, and who are ignorant, and so they are teaching things that are contrary to the Word of God. There are some preachers who will come in with God's Word and have a preconceived idea, and they put into the Bible what they want it to say. Well, again, we need to be like the Bereans. We need to search the Scriptures. So many times members in the churches are like little birds. I've envisioned in my mind a nest in the springtime, and mm-hmm. and these birds are in there, and they're opening their mouth, and whatever mama drops, they swallow it hook, line, and sinker. And there are a lot of people in the pews who are like that. Whatever the preacher says, they swallow it without checking the Scriptures. And so we can't take man's word for it, but we must search the Scriptures to make sure the Bible is our authority.
Well, while we're on this, and before I make this point, I want to give out the telephone number again, 254-445-2473. This is a call-in talk show, and it works a whole lot better if you call in. It's 254-445-2473. Now, you mentioned just a moment ago that preachers sometimes preach things that may not be true, different from the truth. And my question is, and I'm sure there are a lot of listeners out there that are asking the same thing, why would a preacher do that? And I'll tell you why a preacher would do that. If a preacher preaches smooth things, if a preacher preaches things that the audience wants to hear constantly, you hear these people always talking about, well, we're shopping around until we find something that suits us. Well, when they find something that suits them, usually there's not much teeth in it, because people don't want to have to do what God has said to do. And this has been a problem from day one in religion, Tommy. Mm-hmm. We can go all the way back into the book of Isaiah and Jeremiah, where the people were telling the prophets, prophesy unto us smooth things, preach unto us smooth things, prophesy deceit. And the reason they want to hear that is because it makes them feel good. I have had people there at Hillcrest, where I preach, leave because I am telling them things that they don't want to hear.
That's right. Didn't Paul say, am I your enemy because I tell you the truth?
Absolutely, he did.
And isn't this almost like our politicians? You know, they'll kind of change their view on things depending on what the majority of the voters want, because they want to be reelected.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of preachers who are preaching smooth things, false things, because they're more interested in gathering a large crowd than they are the saving of souls. Now, preachers out there, if you're that way, you need to change. We need to get back to the Bible only, be book, chapter, verse, preachers. And the brethren need to demand that of their preachers. And if your preacher is preaching sermons and not using much Bible, you need to get after him, because it's the Bible that's our authority. It's the Bible that teaches us what to do to be saved, and it's the Bible alone that's going to judge us in the end. And so let's get back to the Bible.
Amen.
You have heard what men have said. Now let's hear what the Bible has to say. You know, David, when we think about the Scriptures and how it's going to judge us, we need to realize that it's important for us to know that it has everything that we need. We don't need to be going elsewhere for any spiritual information. Now, I read other books. I read spiritual books. I read books on how to improve yourself and various things like that. But when it comes to our authority in religion, the Bible is our only guide. As a matter of fact, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, it says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto how much? All good works. And so it's the Bible we need to focus on, and that is our authority in religion.
One of my favorite passages that really tells us that everything that we ever wanted to know about life and everything that we ever wanted to know about godliness is right here in these Scriptures, and we are told this through inspiration. The Apostle Peter writes it in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, according to his divine power, he has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, and here's how, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. Mm-hmm. And so through that knowledge, through that inspired word, everything you ever wanted to know about it is right there. Now, there are a lot of people that don't want to know the truth.
That's right.
And shame on people for not wanting to know the truth about marriage, divorce, and remarriage. One of the hot topics, one of the difficult topics to preach. Shame on elders that won't let preachers preach it. Shame on preachers for not preaching
it. That's exactly right. You know, when the Bible says it contains everything for life and godliness, it gives us the abundant life here and now. For in John chapter 10, verse 10, it says, "The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I come that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly." And so the Word of God gives us abundant life here and now, but it also gives us eternal life hereafter. For in Mark chapter 10 and verse 30 it says, "But he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands and with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life." The Word of God gives us life both now and in the hereafter, and also provides us godliness, what we need to be devout and pleasing in the sight of God. The Bible provides us, David, with just so much that we need to be given time to its study and obedience.
Right. Well, let's just consider, if you will. Now, again, the telephone number is 254-445-2473. I want us to consider for just a little bit what exactly the Bible does for man. And you see, the Bible, the Word of God, it will convict us. And we need to be convicted in our own mind, convicted as to right and wrong. And so we are convicted through this Word of God. And Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 tells us, "For the Word of God is quick," that means alive, "and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." Now, that is what the Word does.
Mm-hmm.
But if preachers won't preach it and people won't hear it, it can't do a thing.
That's right. And think, David, back to Acts chapter 2 when Peter was preaching that first gospel sermon. I mean, he was getting after them, told them they even killed the Son of God.
Called them a bunch of murderers.
That's right. And then he said, when they heard these things, heard him preach the Word of God, it says they were pricked in their hearts. And he said, "Men and brethren, what must we do?" You see, that's conviction. That's being convicted and pricked by the Word of God. You have other times when, like Stephen in Acts 7, was preaching the Word of God. And when he was preaching that Word of God, they were cut to the heart, but they had a different reaction.
Right.
Because they did not want to obey. You know, it depends on the heart, doesn't it?
Right.
If a person really wants to obey God's Word when he calls, when the Bible calls him, when the Bible gives instruction, he's going to obey. But if he has a bad heart, well, he's going to reject it. And so we've got to realize the Bible is going to convict. The question is, how are you going to react to it?
That's it. And that's what that Word does. It not only convicts us, but if you've got the right kind of heart, it will convert you as well.
That's right.
And we read in Psalms 19 and 7, "For the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul, and the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. And so we see not only does it convict us, but if you got the right kind of heart like you're talking about, it will convert an individual from being destined and headed to hell. It will convert that person, make a Christian out of him, and change his direction into life.
That's right. And because of that, we can be justified mm-hmm. by the Word of God. You know, in Romans 3, verse 28, it says, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith. When I look at that, David, I'm also reminded of Romans 10, verse 17, how that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what?
The Word of God.
The Word of God. And so we can be justified by the Word of God, and this Word of God, David, saves us. One of my favorite passages in all the Bible is Romans chapter 1, verse 16, where there it says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. I always ask, why, Paul? Well, because it is the power of God unto salvation. You see, that Word of God is powerful, it is able to save us. And one of the things that I find interesting is that word power. It comes from the Greek word dunamis, where we get our English word dynamite.
Mm-hmm.
This, God's Word, is His dynamite, it is His power, and it can save us. So powerful was His Word that He simply spoke in the beginning and all things were created. That same powerful Word can save our souls if we will simply obey its truths.
Very true, very true. And so we see here several things that the Bible can do for us. It will also sanctify us, which means simply it sets us apart. It sets us apart from the rest of the world. It sets us apart from sin. John chapter 17 and verse 17, as Jesus was praying to His Father, He said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And here we understand two things. The Word of God is the truth. There is no other truth but the Word of God. And then we have the sanctification through this truth. It sets the saved apart from the lost. And this is the marvelous part about this Word, which is the truth. You boil down truth, it will come right back to God.
That's right.
Every time.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's important for us to realize all the wonderful things God provides mm-hmm. for us. You know, we've seen so far that His Word convicts us, it converts us, we're justified by it, we're saved by it, we're sanctified by it. And, you know, this Word edifies us. Or in other words, it builds us up. It gives us strength. In Acts 20, verse 32, it says, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and the Word of His grace, which is able to build you up or to edify you and give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. You know, David, we all need building up.
Sure.
We have hard times, difficult times in life, and it is the Word of God that builds us up. And when we're built up in His holy Word, then we have access to that inheritance among them that are sanctified. And I don't know about you, David, but I'm looking forward to that.
I am too. And one thing that we need to really, I guess, drive home here is there's two things that we're talking about this Word. Now, the Word is going to be the Word, whether men obey it or whether men do not obey it. But the Word is only going to be good for you and me if we make application of that Word to our lives.
That's right.
And that is the absolute only way that it's going to work. If you leave it lying there on your coffee table, it's not going to do anything.
That's right.
It's going to sit right there.
You know, it's kind of like if you have medicine. The doctor gives you medicine. Mm-hmm. The medicine's only going to do you any good if you take it. And, you know, I've also known some people, David, who have a pretty good knowledge of the Scriptures,
mm-hmm.
but they don't put them into action.
Right.
That'd be like a guy knowing how to swim and chunked in the water, but he didn't paddle his feet or didn't swing his arms. You know, you can know how, but if you don't do it, it's not going to do you any good.
Sure.
And if we have a knowledge of God's Word and we're not willing to obey it, what good is it in our lives?
Well, that is the reason. When we look at the application of all of these things that the Word does, and all of the things that the Word does for us, they're all good when applied right. So we look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, which says, and whatsoever you do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, in that name of the Lord Jesus means
by the authority of Christ. And here we have gone through here, and we have found that God has handed this authority to Christ. He has given it to his disciples, inspired men, wrote it down here in this book so that we might apply it to our lives. And so now, whatsoever thing you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus by his authority. That means everything I do, I need to be able to authorize my move as being acceptable to God.
That's right. You know, and it's so important for us to realize that a lot of people have the Word of God, but they don't really understand so much how it authorizes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a person can go to the book of Genesis, for example, and maybe read about Noah. And Noah building an ark, and then they think, well, maybe I need to be building an ark. They don't understand how God authorized. They don't understand the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And David, isn't that one of the most important things for us to realize?
Sure.
There is a difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament in understanding authority. Well, we understand, and we've talked about this before, that the New Testament is our authority in religion. And we need to realize that God authorizes in various ways. And we're going to talk about that in just a moment. But right now we're on top of a break, and we're going to take a break for a minute or two. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about how God does authorize, because that's something we need to know to understand what God's will is for us today.
Brethren, we have met to...
Maybe you have heard someone say, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. As good as that may sound, it does not properly reflect the truth. The psalmist David declared, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Every time we read the Bible, we have access to the very mind of God, 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 13. If we refuse to do the will of the Father, Jesus will say in judgment, "I never knew you, depart from me." The true attitude we should have toward the Holy Scripture should be, "God said it, that settles it whether I believe it or not." Do you believe God's word? For you, does that settle the matter concerning religion once and for all? Are you living by the word of God? The Park Heights Church of Christ would like to welcome you to come and worship with us. We have Bible studies for all ages each Sunday at 9:30 a.m. And our worship times are each Sunday at 10:25 a.m. and also at 6 p.m. We also have Bible study for all ages each Wednesday at 7 p.m. And at the Park Heights Church of Christ, we stand in the old paths and speak the truth in love.
Someday when my last line is written.
Perhaps you've been on a path or road that leads to nowhere. Maybe you have been down that path, and perhaps you feel like you're on that path right now. But you don't have to be. We need to be walking on the old paths and the narrow way of Christ so as not to end up in a knothole of destruction, the path that leads to nowhere. Friends, make the level path of thy feet and let thy ways be established, Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 26. Walk in the ways of righteousness in the midst of the paths of justice, and a highway shall be there. And a way, it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for the redeemed, the wayfaring men. Yea, fools shall not err therein. I'm David Harris from the Hillcrest Church of Christ, and I invite you to worship with us every Sunday morning. Bible classes beginning at 9:30, worship services at 10:30, and midweek Bible classes at 7 p.m. Please make plans to attend and worship with us.
Welcome back to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. I'm David Harris here with my co-host Tom Moore from Hamilton, Texas at the Park Heights Church of Christ there. I preach at the Hamilton Church of Christ. I'd like to remind you, the Hillcrest Church of Christ, excuse me. And I do know where I preach. I'm trying to read and talk at the same time. It doesn't work too well. I want to remind you again that we are having a gospel meeting starting this next Sunday, H.D. Simmons. If you want to hear somebody that can really preach, now this guy can really do the job.
He can shell the corn.
He's a great preacher, and we're very privileged to have him come and preach to us and for us. And we're going to have some tremendously good topics concerning changing times in the Bible. And we've talked about that a little bit today, Tom, when we're talking about people with this progressive idea toward the Constitution of the United States and a progressive idea with the biblical authority that we have given to us here. Some people seeming to think that this is no longer applicable to us today, but it is applicable. We are told it is applicable, and we need to understand that this word is got to be our authority for everything that we do. We mentioned right before the break what Colossians chapter 3 verse 17 says, "And whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus." It is so very important that we understand what God wills for us to do. He has revealed to us what He wants us to do. Now, all we have to do is rightly divide the word, as we're told to do in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. And one of those things that pertains to rightly dividing the word is this: do I obey what's under the Old Testament law, or do I obey what's under the New Testament law? And that's a valid question. Mm-hmm. Again, the number to call is 254-445-2473, or you can email us at keqx@rocketmail.com. If you got a question, if you got a comment, if you don't even want to talk about what we're talking about, call us, give us a Bible question, we'll give you a Bible answer. Now, we're here. We want to only say what the Bible says, and we want to compare that to what men have said. And so we're asking the question tonight, what is God's authority? We've seen what it does for us. It begets us. It gives us life. It convicts us. It converts us. It justifies us. It saves us. But now, how does God make us apply this word, Tom?
You know, one of the things I want to mention before I get right into that is this. You know, when you mention Colossians 3 and verse 17, that we're to do all in the name of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people have a misconception about what that really means. You know, saying just simply saying the Lord's name,
mm-hmm.
thinking that that's all that is, you know, all you need. But today when someone says, "Stop in the name of the law," well, what are they saying? They're saying stop by the authority that the law has. You know,
right.
You're supposed to stop because of His authority. And so when the Bible says do all in His name, He's saying do all by His authority. And David, that authority, getting back to what you just mentioned, teaches us in various ways. And one of the ways, and really the most significant and straightforward way, is direct statements or commands. You know, you have a hard time misunderstanding a command. You know, for example, Jesus said in Mark 16 and verse 16, a direct statement, a command, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved."
How can you misunderstand that?
You need help to misunderstand that. That is a direct statement, and yet so many people will have a direct statement. You know, I remember when my little girl was young. Well, she's not so little now. She's about 29 years old. But I remember when she was in kindergarten, and she says, "Daddy, I want to be baptized." I said, well, why do you want to be baptized, honey? "Because the Bible says so." Now, if a kindergarten can read a verse like Mark 16, verse 16, and see it clearly without any preconceived ideas, without any kind of blinders on, and see God's direct statement, well, then we ought to be able to see that same thing. God authorizes and sets forth His rules one way by direct statements or commands.
Now, one of the reasons that people disobey commands are given to us back here in the Old Testament. Now, we do not live under the laws of the Old Testament, but the principles of righteousness that are given to us back there are the same principles of righteousness that are brought forth into the New Testament. Romans chapter 15 and verse 4 says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime, they were written for our learning." Now, Isaiah, talking to a bunch of people that are about to be taken into captivity because of their rebelliousness, Isaiah reminds me of a lot of people today that read that passage that you just got through quoting in Mark chapter 16, verse 15 and 16,
that tells us that we are to believe and to be baptized. Now, Isaiah reminds me of a lot of people that we have today that say, well, that's not really what that means. Mm-hmm. And here's what they say in Isaiah chapter 30 and verse number 9. He says that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say unto the seer, see not, to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Now, here we go again with people not wanting to hear what God has to say. Yet this is the authoritative word, and as we mentioned just a moment ago, it's the very same word that's going to judge us.
That's right. And you know, if we learn nothing else from the Old Testament, we learn that if you obey, you're blessed. If you disobey, you're punished. How many times do you see throughout the Old Testament, thus saith the Lord, mm-hmm. and then gives a command or a direct statement that they're to be involved in, and when they did it, God blessed them.
Right.
And when they did not do it, God punished them. You know, there are so many people today when that God gives a direct statement that they want to try to change God's word. You know, we're living in a time with these progressive, change agents that some call, some of the people in the Lord's church today are trying to change God's law. They're trying to redefine terms. They're trying to redefine direct statements of God. You know, we even do that in our society today. For example, you know, it wasn't long ago when if you stole a car, you were stealing a car. Now they call it unauthorized use of a vehicle. You know, it wasn't long ago when they said that a homosexual is a homosexual. Now they say gay. It wasn't long ago when we called adultery adultery. Now we say it's an affair. You see, we're changing terms to try to make them not so bad, and we're calling, well, as Isaiah said, light, darkness, and darkness, light. We're mm-hmm. trying to change God's law because we do not like his direct statements, his commands. And as you read in Isaiah, some are just simply refusing to obey what God says.
You know, as a result of all of this changing language here, what we have are people that justify what they do, and they're not at all ashamed about
it. That's right.
They do these things. They do these horrible things, which should cause people to be actually ashamed of what they're doing. Homosexuality, abortion, the adultery. People should be ashamed of these things because, if for no other reason, this very word that judges us says you can't go to heaven like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's saying. And so these people that ought to be ashamed because of the redefinition of terms, they're not ashamed at all. And they just, they're boastful about it. You know, go on television and tell the world about what they're doing. Now, there was a time within God's people that they were doing the very same thing. And Jeremiah writes about it. And he says in Jeremiah chapter 6, these things that were written for our learning. In verse 15, he says, were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed. Neither could they blush. Therefore, they shall fall against them that fall at the time that I visit them. They shall be cast down. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see and ask for the old paths, wherein is the good way. He's wanting them to go, pleading with them, to get back to his authoritative way, which will get them a blessing instead of a curse.
It's beyond me, David, that people can see these direct statements, these commands of God, and simply ignore them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a passage in 1 Peter 3, verse 21, where it talks about how that baptism doth now also save us. That is a direct statement that says baptism saves. And yet we have so many people in the religious world today that say, no. Baptism does not save. That's just obedience. It's faith alone that saves. Well, what are you doing? You're directly opposing a direct statement of God. You don't need to have a Ph.D. to understand what he said here. He that believeth and baptized, Jesus said in Mark 16, verse 16, 1 Peter 3, 2, 1, he says, baptism doth now also save us. And you know, and there's passages like Luke 13, verse 3. It says where if a man won't repent, he's gonna perish. Well, are you gonna change your life or not? When you look at God's word and you look in it as a mirror, are you gonna change your word or not? Your life or not? You know, and so when we see these direct statements of God that are very clear, we're going to have to obey and give heed to these, or the Word of God is really not going to do us any good.
You're absolutely right. Now, a telephone number again. We want to continually give this, and just in case somebody's listening, we'd like to pick up the phone, 254-445-2473. Now, we've been talking about direct statements. This is how God authorizes, how the Bible, the authoritative Word, authorizes. It authorizes by direct statements, but it also authorizes by implication. Now, it's interesting that we can read this book and we can understand it alike. There's no doubt in my mind that we can understand it alike. As a matter of fact, Paul said we could understand it alike in Ephesians chapter 3. We can understand it when we read it. Now, the implication is something that God's Word will imply. And you say, well, now, that's just a matter of opinion. No, not really. When you look at what the implication is behind something, there is no doubt in your mind what was implied, just as if it were given in a direct statement. Now, speaking of baptism again, we have a tremendous example in Acts chapter 8. I believe you have it open up there. And this is an example of a man being converted. And by the way, if you want to look at any conversion, you go to the book of Acts, because it is the book of conversion. You want to see how everybody was converted in the book of Acts? You go there. For those of you who do not believe that baptism is necessary, please go there and show me somebody that was converted that was not baptized.
There is
not one in there.
That's right.
But here in this, as we read about this Ethiopian eunuch, he was a man like a lot of people today. He was a religiously minded man. He was reading in the book of Isaiah, and he asked Philip the evangelist, he asked him a question. Is Isaiah speaking of himself, or is he speaking of some other man when he was reading Isaiah chapter 53 that concerns Jesus the Christ, the prophet which is to come? Back there, 700 B.C. Now take it from there, Tom, and explain it to us.
And the eunuch was reading from Isaiah 53.
Mm-hmm.
And then Philip, in Acts chapter 8, in verse 35, it says, then Philip opened his mouth and began at that same scripture, that is in Isaiah 53, and preached unto him Jesus. Well, in verse 36 it says, and as they went on their way, they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?
Implication.
That's right. What's implied here? Well, it's implied here that when you preach Jesus, you preach what, David?
You preach the entire plan of salvation,
right,
including the church.
That's right. And he talks here, he says, when he was preaching unto him Jesus, he realized that baptism was involved in that. So that's implied. And that's something that's found out, you know, throughout the scriptures. You can't get away from the implication. When he preached Jesus, he preached baptism.
And what else would cause this man to tell this evangelist, hey, here's water. Why can't I be baptized right now? Why would he even bring baptism up if he was reading all the way back in Isaiah chapter 53, pointing toward Jesus? Because when you preach Jesus, you've got to preach his plan.
That's right.
He's got a plan of salvation for mankind. Included in that plan is baptism. Now, folks, for those of you out there that are listening that think that you can be saved by faith alone, forget that. Get your Bible out and look at what the Bible has to say about baptism. It is something that we must do in order to be saved. Is baptism the only thing that's going to save us? No. Is baptism a thing that's going to save us? You better believe it, and don't bet your life on it.
You know, we're taught that, David, by direct statement, and also right here in Acts 8, by implication. It's taught quite often,
yes,
in the Scriptures. And as you mentioned a moment ago, every single conversion account in Acts, which is a book of conversions, as you mentioned, always includes baptism in its salvation plan. So, what do we imply from that?
Well, we imply that it is an absolute necessary step in God's plan of salvation for a purpose, to rid us, wash our sins away,
in the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, without that, without the washing away of our sins, we cannot stand before God in the day of judgment.
That's right. Exactly right. And you know, we realize that it's important for us to be in Christ. Probably no one out there in the world would say, I can be saved outside of Christ, right?
You wouldn't think so.
Well, and then Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27 says that we are baptized into Christ. Well, what's the implication of that? Well, you can't be in Christ unless you're what?
Baptized into Him.
And so we also imply from that that baptism is essential to salvation because Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 says that all spiritual blessings are where? In Christ.
Now, Jesus.
If all spiritual blessings are in Christ, is there any spiritual blessings outside of Christ?
No.
And so if you want to have access to these spiritual blessings, you've got to be in Christ. Paul says, to be in Christ, you've got to be baptized. Well, you know, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to get that. People have to have help to misunderstand that.
And this gets back to this progressive nature of people's, I hate to use this word, interpretation of the Bible. It's a progressive nature that people have. We don't get to go along and interpret this Bible any old way we want to. It's an authoritative document, just as authoritative as God can make it. It cannot be any more authoritative than what it is. And he says everything that we do must be done in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18, he told his disciples, all of his apostles, he said, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. So when we call upon the name of Jesus, we're calling upon that authority that God gave him, that he can, that he has, that he binds upon us.
That's right.
Now, there's one thing that I would like to bring up at this particular point. Now, we've been talking about the Bible and the authoritative nature of the Bible. But in Hebrews chapter 5 and in verses 8 and 9, what we have here is a statement through inspiration that shows us about the authorship of this book and about how important it is that we give heed and beware not to forsake giving our obedience to this word. In verse 8, talking about Jesus, as though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect. Now watch this. He, Jesus, became the author. The author of what? The author of eternal salvation. How? Through this Bible. The author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. So if we have this rebellious nature that says, I am not going to submit to that, is he covered under the salvation, the eternal salvation that God has authored?
Definitely not. So, when Jesus said, you know, they're talking about Jesus and his eternal plan. When he said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, are we going to obey or are we not?
Well, it depends upon our receptiveness of God's will.
That's right. And if we don't obey, it's very clear from the passage you just read a moment ago that we are not going to be saved if we don't obey. You know, a direct statement, a command that is so clear and simple, and yet people want to try to explain away the Word of God.
I have trouble. Let me just interject this. I have trouble understanding why people dig their heels in the ground when you talk about water.
Yeah.
I really have trouble understanding that. They might want to believe. They might want to confess Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They may even want to repent and change their life unto salvation, as we're told to do.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to get me in that water.
That's right.
You're not going to back. It's a principle of the thing. Well, that's just it with God. It is the principle of the thing. God said, and that should be good enough for anybody.
Right. And you know, it's not only baptism, David. There are a lot of people who will refuse also to repent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they might even be baptized.
Mm-hmm.
They might even call on the name of the Lord. They might be willing to confess his name, but they're not willing to change their life. You know, and that's just as bad as neglecting baptism, to
sure
neglect repentance, because Jesus says, except you repent, That means change your life. Don't do the things you have been doing. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And so it's not just baptism. We're just not harping on baptism, but that's just a good example of what we're talking about, as is repentance.
Sure.
You know, David, the Bible talks and teaches us and gives us, authorizes through direct statement, through implication. But another way that the Bible authorizes is by example. And let me give you an example of the example I'm talking about. For example, in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21, it says, "Therefore, even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps." So he's telling us here, you look at the life of Jesus, you follow his example, because his example is authoritative.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've got to realize that the Bible teaches that quite often throughout the Scriptures. For example, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1, Paul says, "Be ye followers of me as I also am of Christ." That is, follow the example that I set for you. And we might also mention Philippians chapter 4 and verse 9, where it says, Paul says, "Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard," and notice, "and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." And so we have examples in the Bible also that gives us authority for doing this or that, and also teaches us what we are to avoid.
I think it's interesting, and people want to always look, they say, "Well, why do you guys want to get back over there in those epistles? Why can't you stay in the Gospels where Jesus preached?" And that's where I want to go. And we've been talking about following, being followers of Jesus. Now, I think it's very interesting in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24, in Luke chapter 9, and again, I believe that's in verse number 28. No, that's not verse number 28. But in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24, we are told there, "If any man will follow me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." There are some things in this world that we cannot do. And we cannot be a follower of Jesus unless we actually deny ourselves of those things that are going to keep us out of heaven, whatever those things are. And you can just enumerate those things as far as you want to. Now, that other passage that I was talking about is in Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. And what he says there, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily."
Mm-hmm.
"And follow me."
That's right. You know, if we're true followers of Christ, we're going to do what he says.
Do whatever it takes.
You know, a lot of people today claim they love Jesus. You know, "I love him. He's my Savior. I'll do anything for him." But Jesus says, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." That's the bottom line.
It certainly is.
God has given his authority, and it's up to us to obey the Word of God, because God's Word is powerful. It is able to save us. The question that I'm going to leave you with tonight, and I'll let David conclude us, is, are you really, honestly searching and willing to obey the Word of God? Because if you're not, you cannot be saved.
That's right. Well, you've heard what the Bible has to say. We've compared it to what men have had to say, and we hope that it has been enlightening for all of us that were here. I know I always enjoy these sessions, and I want to thank our listeners for listening in tonight. I want to remind you one more time about the gospel meeting coming up at the Hillcrest Church of Christ there in Stephenville, Texas, this Sunday with H.D. Simmons, The Bible and the Changing Times in Which We Live. And this is going to have something to do with what we've been talking about here. This is a great preacher. We invite you to come and worship with us. And I want to leave you with this one thought. Please read what God has to say, and compare it with what man has to say, and then do what is author. That's all we're asking, and that's all we're preaching here on this 1 hour show every Monday night. We want to thank you for listening. We want to ask you to please remember God, remember His Word, and God, please bless America.